Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up for your trial today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Scott Chu.
Yo, everybody, and welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. My name, of course, is Scott Chu. You can find me on Twitter at IfTheChuFits. Today is June 27th, and we are going to talk about baseball. We'll start out with some injuries and transactions. Ronald Acuna Jr. was held out Sunday with pain in his left foot. Reports state he couldn't put any weight on it, but he does hope to be cleared within the next few days. Bryce Harper is out indefinitely with a broken left thumb. More news likely to come later this week, but I wouldn't be shocked if this holds him out for at least 4 to 6 weeks, even if surgery is not required. Chris Sale is expected to throw a 3-inning rehab start in AA later this week, hopefully on Thursday. Yoan Moncada is on track to return from the IL when first eligible on Tuesday. Chris Bryant is likely to come off the IL today, just in time for a nice little homestand in Coors Field. Mookie Betts, who we had hoped would be gone just 2 weeks, still doesn't have an exact return date yet, may need an extra week or two before he's back. Brandon Woodruff, who's dealing with a hand issue, he does look slated to return on Tuesday, so get him in your lineups. Hunter Renfroe hit the IL with a left calf injury. Colton Wong, who's been on the IL, should be back starting on Tuesday for the Brewers. Jorge Polanco is slated to return sometime during the series against the Guardians coming up, so make sure he's getting ready to be put into your lineups and that you're starting to make room. Max Scherzer makes his second rehab start on Tuesday, so that's definitely something for you to track, especially if you're scouring those minor league box scores. Gleyber Torres has a mild ankle sprain. He was taken out of Sunday's game early, definitely something you'll want to keep an eye on. Brandon Crawford has a bulky left knee, and he hit the IL. And finally, Jack Flaherty was removed from his start with shoulder stiffness. I'm sure we'll get more on that as the week progresses. And we'll take a look at the hitting action from yesterday. If you want to know more, of course, check out the batter's box on the site, written by our own Adam Howe today. We'll start with Dalton Varsho. He went 2-for-4 with a home run, 2 runs scored, 3 RBI, and a walk. His June OPS remains under 600, but perhaps the back-to-back games with an extra base hit, his first such string since late May, will get him going again. He still remains one of fantasy's top options behind the backstop. Brendan Donovan of the Cardinals, he went 2-for-4 with a triple, a home run, 2 runs scored, and a walk. He's killing it in points league. His WRC plus is great, I know that, and I respect it, but you're kidding yourself if you think this is more than a Luis Arraez clone. It's not a bad thing. I love Luis Arraez. But Brendan Donovan, Luis Arraez, they're all but certain to hit fewer than 10 home runs, steal fewer than 10 bases in a single season. That profile's having a big renaissance this season, and it can absolutely dominate in points leagues, be real hot for a short time, but it's going to be hard for Brendan Donovan to have a really high upside in fantasy leagues that are roto or category-based, because he simply doesn't provide a lot in many categories. Jose Altuve went 1-for-3 with a home run, 2 walks, and 2 stolen bases. He's well on his way to his first double-digit steal season since 2018. While he's not likely to continue that kind of speed, Jose Altuve is going to yet again push to break his personal home run record of 31, which he's reached in each of the last 2 full seasons, not counting 20. Despite not having more than 6 steals in any of the last 4 seasons, Jose Altuve still has 87 more career steals than home runs. That just tells you a lot about the way his profile has changed over his career. A guy I can't get enough of, Isak Paredes of the Tampa Bay Rays, formerly Detroit Tigers. He went 3-for-3 with 2 doubles, an RBI, and a walk. The hype train keeps rolling, keeps building steam for this former Tiger, who, again, he's not an extreme power hitter. I know you're going to keep seeing the home runs and thinking, like, oh, man, they're going to figure him out. This is actually a really, really good hit tool guy. It just happens to be turning into power right now because he's getting stuff that he can clear the fences with. Expect more of these doubles to come forward, even if the home runs slow down. Rowdy Tellez of the Brewers, he went 2-for-4. 2 home runs, 4 RBI, and a walk. This is just very indicative of who Rowdy is. He's a lefty masher who will absolutely beat up on guys like maybe Jose Berrios when they have an off night. More on him in a bit. He's not on the hitter list right now, but Rowdy Tellez is a guy who's always kind of in the back end just based on what kind of matchups he's seeing. He gets a lot of right-handers. He's someone I'm willing to put into lineups. you know, pretty much any time I need a first baseman replacement, but he just doesn't have the upside I think a lot of people. Willie Adames, also of the Brewers, he went 3-for-5 with an RBI and 2 runs scored. Just want to point out that he's got a hit in 8 of his last 9 starts, and he's slugging .610 during this stretch. While the batting average is only just starting to settle in after he came back from missing time with an injury, the power has not gone anywhere. There's no reason Adames can't be what we always wanted Paul DeJong to be, a 30 home run hitting shortstop who isn't a sandbag in the batting average department. And then Taylor Ward, he went 2-for-4 with a double, and it took a minute, but he seems to have broken through the fog that set in while he was out. He's hitting .378, hitting .552 during his current 7-game hitting streak, and if he can even be a halfway decent hitter, he should have no problem staying in the leadoff spot for the remainder of the year. Taylor Ward's only challenger for that leadoff spot comes in the currently injured David Fletcher. And as long as Ward is hitting in front of the two most impressive baseball players of our generation, named Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, Taylor Ward's fantasy production potential is unquestionable. Now, of course, the starting pitching performances from yesterday, if you want to know more about these, of course, check out Nick Pollock's always amazing SP Roundup, or anytime you're on the site, check out the pitcher player pages we have. Every single one has amazing game logs. When you open up those game logs, you also get Nick's blurb from the SP Roundup from that relevant start. So please, please, please make sure you're checking those out. And start out with Jose Berríos of the Blue Jays. He was against those Brewers and he got wrecked, folks. 2.2 innings pitched, 8 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, just 1 strikeout on 4 whiffs, 66 pitches. And after rattling off his best three game stretch of the season, Berríos finds a new low after back-to-back appearances, giving up a total of 14 earned runs to 20 base runners over his last 6.2 innings, striking out just 2. You don't cut him yet, because if the curveball bounces back, this is a solid starter, the guy that we just saw, but you really need to bench him until you feel good about it. Really pick and choose your battles. Jose Urquidy of the Astros went against the Yankees. He went 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run on just 1 hit, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, 8 whiffs, and 100 pitches. And what a great 2-start week for Urquidy. He stifled both New York teams over 13 innings, allowed just 5 hits and 2 earned runs. The low strikeout rates are a bit of a clue as to the source of his success. It has to do with a lot of weak contact off the fastball. This isn't showing like a major change for Urquidy, who remains a useful, if unspectacular, back-end fantasy arm, who can be a bit volatile due to lack of strikeouts and the fact that he does need batters to hit the ball to really have his best success right now. Spencer Strider of Atlanta went against the Dodgers, and hey, this is just something he's doing right now. He went 6 innings pitch with 0 earned runs, 5 hits, no walks, and 7 strikeouts. And look, two-pitch pitchers need fastball control to be effective. Spencer Strider had that fastball control on Sunday. It forced those Dodgers hitters into uncomfortable positions where they couldn't just sit on something over the heart of the plate. Now, that command has eluded Strider at times. His consistency will depend on that command, because if he ever falls behind too much, he's got to throw fastballs, and that fastball isn't good enough to beat hitters all on its own. He needs that slider working. So Dylan Cease of the White Sox, he had a great day as well. He went against the Orioles. He gets the win on 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 13 strikeouts. There's no question the young southpaw can miss bats, though the whip remains slightly problematic if you want him to have ace staying power. Nick will be featuring him on the live stream of the creation of the list today at 1 p.m. on Twitch. That's Eastern Time, 1 p.m. on Twitch. So check it out if you want to know more about Dylan Cease. Shane McClanahan, the ace that he is, went against the Pirates. He went 7 innings pitched on 1 earned run, 4 hits, no walks, 10 strikeouts, because the guy's an ace through and through. David Peterson of the Mets, he had a second great start. He went against the Miami Marlins. No decision. He went 7 innings pitched on 2 earned runs, 4 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts, 16 whiffs, 21% CSW, 104 pitches. And look, he beat up on the same opponent twice in a row. That means something, but it's going to mean a lot more if I see him beat up on the Rangers, his next opponent, who actually suffer from a lot of the same offensive issues that the Marlins have, in that their lineup isn't super deep, and the most troublesome bats are also prone to whiff. Tyler Molly of the Reds went against the Giants. He was in San Francisco. He's been better on the road. He went 6.2 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Something to know about him, he's gone at least 6 innings in 8 of his last 9 starts, with 6 quality starts during that stretch. The inconsistency will drive you nuts. The home runs are scary, especially when he's at home in Great American Ballpark. But look, the guy's rolling, and there's nothing you can really say about that other than the fact that he is, and you kind of got to keep leaving him in your lineup. Nestor Cortez was against Urquidy and the Astros. He got a no decision on 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, but 7 strikeouts. And look, it wasn't a quality start. It's not a win, but it's 7 strikeouts against a tough Astros team. and that's good news. Jose Suarez of the Angels went against the Mariners. He got the win on 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 5 hits, no walks, and 8 strikeouts. And in 15.1 June innings, Jose Suarez has 18 strikeouts and a 2.35 ERA. Again, that's in just 15.1 innings. I'm thinking this is probably more of a flash in a pan than a major breakout, but the last two starts for Jose Suarez have been excellent, and he certainly took well to having an opener here in this last one. And then finally, Jackson Tetro of the Nationals went against the Rangers. He got the win on 6 innings pitch, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. I'm not big on Tetro, but I won't argue that he wasn't highly effective on Sunday against the Rangers, who are a team that can be. We will close out yesterday's recap with the relief pitchers who made an impact. Lou Trevino had back-to-back saves this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, his first time earning a save in consecutive appearances since April 13th and 16th. While his 7.17 ERA is hard to ignore, the 2.80 FIP seems to suggest he's a little better than what he's shown. Oakland has a rough schedule coming up with the Yankees, Mariners, Blue Jays, and Astros all on the horizon. So if you're in a 10 or 12 team league and you don't feel like picking up Trevino yet, you're not desperate for saves, go ahead and wait for that to clear up a little. There's not going to be a ton of saves to have in there, as far as I can. Kendall Graveman in the White Sox first save opportunity since Monday. Graveman's the one who got the call in the ninth as Joe Kelly was using the eighth. It's worth noting that Graveman has 3 unearned runs over the last 2 outings, and Kelly's given up 2 hits in each of his last 2. So if you're looking for bullpen clarity, you will not find it in Chicago. Tanner Rainey picked up his 3rd save of the week. And while he's allowed at least 1 base runner in all 3 of his appearances, he still got the job done. The Marlins have a lot of winnable games on the horizon, with series against the Pirates, Marlins, and the Harperless Phillies taking them through the first week of July. So definitely someone you want to pick up in maybe some more shallow leagues where he may be still waiting around because his ratios have not been great. Then Andrew Belotti got the save for the Phillies. He struck out 6 of the 8 batters he saw this week, including 1 more last night. Both Brad Hand and Sir Anthony Dominguez were available, so it just adds to the mystery and the allure of the Phillies pen that I am just really wanting to avoid right now. Before we go and look at the day ahead, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
And now we are back to look at the day ahead, and the way we always start that out is with our good friend Mark talking about the weather. Mark, take it away.
Thank you very much. Sunday was relatively quiet, and we go to a new week, and we're not going to be so quiet. We have a slow-moving cold front slamming into the I-95 corridor that's going to spark some showers and thunderstorms, and there's 2 games that could be affected. One is a AL matchup between the Oakland Athletics and the New York Yankees, and the other is an NL East matchup between the, well, I guess it's not the NL East anymore, I'm back in the 80s, between the Pirates and the Nationals. At least it's an NL matchup there. Those are the 2 games we'll have to keep an eye out for tomorrow. Showers and thunderstorms will be around, especially early on. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mark. We always appreciate your insight. As far as streamers go, we'll start with some starting pitching. Really just 1. It's a short slate today. So Chris Bubich draws the Rangers. He's looked good in his last 2 outings on the road against the Giants and Angels. It's a short slate. He's got a vulnerable opponent. I'll take it. He's a 2 starter this week, someone that I'm mildly interested in, especially in deeper leagues. As far as hitters are concerned, look, start right at the top. Any Dodger in the lineup against Chad Kuhl today in Coors takes priority, particularly lefties like Muncy or Bellinger or Gavin Lux. A guy you might think of for the whole series is actually Trace Thompson. He's a righty, striking out far too much, but the Dodgers are giving a lot of run in the outfield, especially while Mookie Betts is out, and he could easily swat his way into a double or 2, maybe even steal another base in the series. He got 1 yesterday. And then any Pirate against Eric Fed. Eric Fed's as vulnerable and really as anyone. It's something Nick calls out by saying don't trust the Feds. Your opponents might see this as a streaming opportunity because Fed's been, you know, somewhat successful at times against a weak opponent like the Pirates, But I disagree entirely. I think this is actually a trap for Fed. It's a very left-handed lineup for the Pirates, something I think you can really take advantage of in DFS or in daily action. O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, they'll be the ones that are probably the most spoken for, but Jack Suwinski, Daniel Vogelbach, Bly Madris, Cal Mitchell all should be widely available and or inexpensive as streamers or DFS options. Definitely think you should look that way. I think they can really jump on Eric Fed. So we thank you so much for listening to the First Pitch Podcast. I hope you all check out the rest of the stuff we have on the site. It's all great stuff. You know, me and Chad and Dan and Kevin are just really happy to be able to share this with you all the time. Thanks so much for listening. Feel free to give us any feedback you've got. Check out the site. Give us feedback there. We've got the hitter list coming out later this week. Nick's list comes out today. Lots of exciting stuff. So thanks for you all for listening and have a great rest.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.